Romans chapter 13 that have something to say to us as individuals and as a church as we celebrate this 80th anniversary year. And if you have one of the church Bibles available at the back, the page numbers are 1142 in one of the smaller Bibles, or 1718 if you have one of the brown large print Bibles. So if you turn to Romans 13, starting from verse 11, I'll pray for God's help as we hear his voice, and then we'll read those verses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your word. We praise you that you do speak to us. You don't leave us guessing what you are like. You don't leave us guessing what your plans are. You don't leave us guessing how we should live. But you speak to us. You speak to us to guide us, to help us, to comfort us and encourage us, to challenge us and to equip us. And you speak to us to remind us of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that your word is unchanging, that over the last 80 years your word stayed the same, that you don't say one thing one year and something else the next year, but that we can trust what you say. And we pray that as we listen this morning, you would help us to trust. Help us to receive your voice into our hearts. And help us to unite together in listening to you and following you. Amen. So Romans chapter 13, and I'll just read verses 11 down to verse 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. And may God bless those words to us, his people, this morning. So here we are. It's our 80th church anniversary. Hopefully you've worked it out already by this point in the service. It is our 80th anniversary. The question is, what is it that we are celebrating? Some of you at this point may be thinking, oh no, is this another quiz question? Which it is. The next question in our Litchard Mission anniversary quiz: what are we celebrating in this 80th anniversary celebration? Is it option A, 80 years of Litchard Mission Church? Or is it option B, 80 years of God's faithful provision? Or is it option C, 80 years of Jesus steadfastly shepherding his people? Or is it option D, all of the above, plus something else Adam is going to say? What do you think? Shout out your answer now.
D.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Yes. You're right. The answer is D. This is 80 years of Litchard Mission Church. It's 80 years of God's faithful provision. It's 80 years of Jesus steadfastly shepherding his people and bringing new sheep into the fold. But it's also, from this passage, 80 years of salvation getting nearer. Salvation is nearer to us now than when Litchard Mission was founded. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Our full, final salvation. the glorious revelation of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, in majesty and splendour. The time when we can enjoy all that God has in store for us for the whole of eternity. The final end of everything that opposes God and his purposes and his people. That day, that salvation is nearer to us now than when those people met to establish Lichard Mission Church in 1938. It's nearer. 80 years of that glorious coming day of salvation getting nearer. Isn't that exciting for us as a church here this morning? Our anniversary. We're celebrating the fact that God is taking us nearer. Nearer. And I want us to think this morning just a bit about why that's exciting and what it means for us as we look back to 80 years of history and as we look ahead as well to however many years the Lord has left for us here before he comes back. So we'll start by thinking really just about one word in this verse, the first word, which is quite an important word, salvation. Salvation. What is salvation? In a sense, salvation is what Lichard Mission has always been about. A community of people celebrating salvation. A community of people speaking the good news of salvation. But what is this salvation? And what is this salvation that is coming, that is getting nearer? Well, salvation really means that we have a problem, but God has the solution. We have a problem, and God has the answer. Think about the world in which we live. It's a world where there are lots of problems, aren't there? Lots of problems that we see in the world around us. You can pick up a newspaper. And here's a fun fact for you. If you pick up a newspaper, there will be news stories in it other than Brexit. Imagine that. Some of you may be thinking, really? You may be skeptical at this point, but I assure you, if you go home and look at the newspaper, there are things happening in the world other than Brexit. The problem is, they're not all very happy things. In some parts of the world, if Brexit was all that was going on, then that would be a happy news week. Lots of the news we hear about is dark and depressing stuff, isn't it? So much of what makes the headlines is death, destruction, war, conflict, violence, knife crime, disappointments, sickness, anxieties, confusion, worries, mess, darkness. Lots of problems in the world. Lots of problems in our lives. And we look around and we think about all these problems and we can come up with a long list. How do we go about solving all of these problems? Well, the Bible tells us that all of these problems are kind of tied together by a much deeper problem. A much deeper problem of our attitude to God, to our Creator, to the God who made us. The God who made us, the God who's described in the Bible as being light. God is light. He's true. He's pure. He's a God who makes sense of this world. He created it. The God of truth and justice. But the Bible tells us that humanity is turned away from that God who is light. Even the first humans turned away from the God who is light, thinking that maybe there's a better life to be had somewhere away from this God, not listening to him, but doing things our own way, turning away from the God who is light. And if humanity is turned away from the God who is light, then it's no surprise that there's so much darkness in the world. If humanity is turned away from the God who is light. The Bible tells us that when humanity turned away from the life-giving, true Creator God, that disrupted life in this world. It disrupted our relationship with God, with our Creator, broken. It disrupted our relationship with life, no longer enjoying life as it was created to be enjoyed, but now this being a world where we face the painful reality of death. Disrupting our relationship with each other, conflict and disagreement and war. And disrupting even our relationship with this world in which we live, that there are natural disasters and things that happen outside of our control, and yet the world itself has been corrupted by humanity's decision to turn away from the God who created us, the God who is light and life. And this is the dark world that we grow up in. And this is the dark world that we participate in. We may not make news headlines with things that we've done, but all of us in different ways have turned away from the Creator who made us, the Creator who speaks truth, wanting to do things our own way, wanting to go our own way, wanting to establish our own little kingdom without Him, not listening to what He has said to us, not giving thanks to Him for that He's given us. And even if not guilty of starting wars, we're all guilty of the kind of selfishness that leads to people starting wars. We all grew up in this dark world. We all join in with the pattern of humanity to turn away from God. The Bible calls that pattern sin. Something we're all guilty of. And you could ask, well, what does God think about all of this? What does the Creator think about this world that's turned away from Him, about these people that He's made and been so generous to, turning away from Him? What's He think? The Bible speaks of a coming day where humanity will have to give an account to its Creator, God, for how we have lived. And what can we say on that day? If we've turned away from Him, if we've rejected Him, if we've taken as much as we can from Him but not given Him thanks for what He's given us, if we've wanted to go our own way. The Bible says that we deserve to face God's judgment, God's wrath, His right anger against our sin and rebellion and the darkness of this world. We deserve to face God's judgment and to face darkness forever, and even worse darkness than the darkness of this world now. That's the biggest problem of this world, our sin, our turning away from our Creator, that coming day of judgment where we deserve to be condemned. That's the biggest problem. That's where humanity is heading, where all of us would be heading, if not for that one word, salvation. That's where the story would end, if not for that word, salvation. That word that comes to us as such good news, that word, that idea that we find throughout the Bible, salvation, God's answer, God's response to our sin and our rebellion and our turning away, salvation. I asked earlier, what do you think God thinks looking down at this dark world? What does He think? Well, he's a God of perfect justice and a God of perfect truth. He's angry with the sin in this world, rightly so. He will one day bring an end to darkness and sin and rebellion. But the Bible also tells us that he looks down at this world, this dark world, with eyes of love. That's why we've got these banners printed. Actually, these banners were printed before I was here. I don't know why you got them printed, but they're true. That God looks down at this dark world with eyes of love and sends his Son to deal with the problem of our sin, to deal with the problem of our guilt, to deal with the problem that we deserve to perish, to face darkness forever. Jesus Christ, who grew up in this dark world as a boy and a young man and an older man, and he didn't give in to the darkness that was around him. He didn't participate in the darkness. He lived a life that was completely pure in every way. He didn't deserve to face God's judgment or his wrath. But he went to the cross to face that judgment in the place of his people, to stand in the way, to absorb the impact of God's wrath against our sin, so we could be shielded from it, so we could be safe. So if we hide ourselves in him, if we ask him to shield us and protect us, then the day of meeting God is not a day to dread, but a day to look forward to, a day to rejoice in, a day when we will fully experience the full salvation that God has in store for his people, with a full undoing of sin and all of the effects of sin. Already when we come to Jesus and hide ourselves in him, ask him to shield us, already we enjoy salvation. We enjoy a right relationship with the God who made us. Already we enjoy a new life that God works in us to live in this world. Already we enjoy a new hope for the future. But there's more to come, because we're still here in this dark world. We still know sin in our lives. We still know sadness and pain. But there's more to come. When all sin and all darkness and all of the effects of sin for all of God's people will come to an end forever. A day when Jesus will banish darkness forever, and death and pain and sadness. When we will begin living a glorious new life with new bodies, not like these old bodies that get worn out and weary, but new bodies, living with our Saviour in perfection forever if we know him. That's the day that's coming. That's the day of salvation. The full and final salvation, everything that God has in store for his people. And that's the day that's getting nearer. The day that's 80 years nearer than when this church was founded. The day is getting nearer. The day of not receiving what we deserve for how we live, which is darkness, but a day of enjoying God's generous grace and riches to we who don't deserve it, a day of salvation. Salvation, that's what Liturgy Mission has been about. Salvation, rejoicing in that salvation, speaking that good news of salvation to others. And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not someone who knows Jesus, then I'm really glad you've come to celebrate with us this morning. Thank you. I hope you can see that what we're celebrating this morning is not just a building, it's not just a name, Liturgy Mission Church. It's not even just people from the past. What we're celebrating this morning is a Saviour who rescues us from darkness now and forever, a Saviour who will rescue us from all darkness forever if we trust in him. And we're looking forward to sharing food with you afterwards. We'd love even more to share eternity with you. and with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. If this is new to you, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus for salvation, I'd love to have a chat with you over lunch afterwards, as would any of the other people who stood at the front here, about what that would mean for you to come to know this Saviour. Salvation is nearer than when this church was founded. I think this is a really exciting way of thinking about the history of this church. 80 years of that day of full, final, glorious salvation getting nearer. 80 years of Jesus faithfully leading people to that final salvation. 80 years of Jesus keeping his salvation promises. 80 years of Jesus moving his people towards that glorious climax of history. 80 years of Jesus bringing more people in to know that hope of salvation. That hope getting nearer and nearer and nearer. Not just the history of people coming and going and things starting and stopping and building work being done and redone and redone. But it's all moving towards that glorious climax, that day of salvation. It's getting nearer and 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 nearer. Isn't that exciting? 80 years getting nearer. Nearer even when I took this photo before the fun day. It's getting nearer. And our confidence for the future is that that's going to continue. I don't have any photos to show you from the future, for obvious reasons. But if I did, we'd see the same pattern getting nearer and nearer and nearer. That day when Jesus will be revealed in glory and majesty and bring an end to darkness forever will continue to get closer. Jesus will continue to faithfully lead his people to that final salvation. Jesus will continue to keep his salvation promises. Jesus will continue to move history to that glorious climax. It will keep going. We know where history is heading. We know where God is leading us. We know that that day is coming. So much in this world is confusing and uncertain and dark. But we know this. Nearer than when this church was established, nearer than when we first met this morning. If you come to our AGM on Wednesday, 7:30 p.m., we'll be able to say salvation is nearer now than when we had our anniversary lunch. Exciting. It's getting nearer. So, the history of Litchfield Mission, 80 years of salvation getting nearer. One more question. This one isn't a quiz question. One more question. What does all of this mean for the mission of Litchfield Mission? Looking to the future, what does all this mean for the mission of Litchfield Mission? Salvation is nearer now than when this church was established. Because we have this privilege of being a people, being a church, proclaiming light into the darkness around, proclaiming the light of Jesus into this dark world. We have this privilege. And this church was established because people saw that there was work to do in Litchfield. And they knew that that day was coming. And we're still here 80 years later, by God's grace, because there is still work to do in Litchfield. And if that day is getting closer, well then, the work seems even more urgent, doesn't it? Imagine for a moment, just briefly, that you're the fireworks operator for the Bridge End New Year's Eve fireworks. I don't know if there is such a thing. I don't really like fireworks or New Year's Eve. But imagine that you're in charge of the fireworks for that occasion, a big occasion. It's an important event. You have to make sure all the fireworks go off and the music works and all of the volunteers are in the right place and all the health and safety protocols are being worked through. And there you are, the head firework operator. 11:59 p.m. on New Year's Eve, the fireworks are going off at midnight. What do you do? Is it time to have a nice sit down, a cup of tea, a biscuit, Have a relax. 11:59 p.m. on New Year's Eve. No. That's the time to be alert. That's the time to be ready for action. Well, we're a bit like that fireworks operator. This is a time for us to be alert and ready for action. Not a time for us to say, well, 80 years, we've done well, haven't we? Time to have a bit of a rest. Isn't it good we don't need to work so hard as those men who dug the hole for the foundation? No. Salvation is getting nearer all the time, that glorious, wonderful day. It's time for us to be alert, to stay alert, to stay ready for action. To continue to reflect the light of Jesus into the darkness around us. As the passage says here, to keep putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, to put on his character with his help, like we'd put on clothes. We'd be faithful witnesses to him as the day of salvation draws near. So we'll be having lunch after this service, and we can think about all of our memories of Lichfield Mission. Some of you have memories. Joan here has memories of the whole history, all 80 years of Lichfield Mission that she'll be happy to share with you. Others of us have shorter times to look back to. We can look back at the past and rejoice and celebrate. But let's also look to the future, to all God will do as salvation gets closer. Let's keep pressing on in his strength. Let's keep celebrating and sharing his salvation. Let's keep anticipating that day. It's nearer. It's nearer now than when this church was founded. It's nearer to us now than when we first believed. It's getting nearer. Let's keep excited about that. Let's pray.